last Tuesday, America went to the polls, and the results apparently surprised a lot of people, some pleasantly, some less so. I saw a cute cartoon of these two fellows in a bar, and one person is consuming shot after shot, and the other person says, "What did you think of the election?" Well, the first person says, "Just awful." "Really?" He says, "Yes, it couldn't have gotten any worse." He says, "Oh, are you a Democrat?" And the fellow says, "No, I'm a pollster." You know, the only polls that count are the ones that finally close at about, well, between 8 o'clock local time on Tuesday evening. The poll that counts is the one that basically sees who is elected and who is defeated. There are a lot of people who look at spiritual things and think that somehow it's the same way, that, you know, everybody's going to heaven. Every religion, as long as it's sincere, you're on the right road. But in spite of that, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except me." That's the only poll that counts. And God willing, we shall all be on the right side of that poll when he comes again in glory. And that basically is the theme, then, for these last few Sundays of the church year. We begin our service, then, today with the singing of hymn 611, "The day is surely drawing near," and we sing stanzas 1 to 5. At the conclusion of 5, "For those who are able, we rise," and continue with our liturgy on page 5 of the fourth part of our hymnal.
Thank you.
us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe in his name he giveth power to become the sons of God, and promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this word unto us all. Save me, O God, by your name, and judge me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. He shall reward evil unto my enemies, cut them off in your truth. God. so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that, being ever mindful of the end of all things and the day of your last judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here and dwell with you forever hereafter, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever the one true God, world without end. Year, the Old Testament lesson is written in the 40th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the 9th verse. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd he will lead his flock, in his arms he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. So far, the Old Testament lesson. The epistle lesson, and also the lesson upon which this morning's sermon is based, is written in the second chapter of the Revelation of St. John the Divine, beginning at the 8th verse. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life, says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. So far, the epistle lesson. We now rise to speak the gradual responsively, and at the conclusion we sing the triple Alleluia. For the Lord is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness.
And he will send his faithfulness.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Give ears to my supplications.
Answer me in your faithfulness.
And in your righteousness.
And do not enter into judgment with your servant.
For in your sight, no man living is righteous.
I stretch out my hands to you.
My soul longs for you as a harsh man.
Let me hear your steadfast love in the morning.
For I trust in you.
Teach me the ways in which I should walk.
For to you I lift up my soul.
Teach me to do your will, for you are my God.
Let your good spirit lead me on level ground.
Hallelujah. O Lord, deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes.
I am a servant, and you judge the man, and I may know his destinies.
Visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, the righteous into eternal life. So far, the Holy Gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Please join me as we now make a confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, printed on page 12 of our hymn book.
I believe in God, our Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered upon Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We now continue with our sermon hymn, that the world is very evil, and it is printed as an insert in our worship bulletin on the inside back cover and back page. I know it's in our hymnal, but the words are slightly, some of the stanzas are slightly different from those in our hymnal. If you look at our hymnal, I think there are only about six or seven stanzas. The original goes on to something like 16 or 17, and in Latin it goes on for the like, say, a hundred. But we're only going to sing five.
Thank you. by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and love be multiplied unto you. Jesus says, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So far the text. Let us pray. The words of my mouth and the meditation of hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm sure we've all heard the expression, but if we apply it to our daily lives, what might this mean? You know, I go to the dentist, and I probably attribute that to childhood memories. When I was growing up, my parents went to a dentist who was a friend of theirs and who was also from Germany. He had been a commando in the First World War. He was a good dentist, but you know, he didn't believe in things like Novocaine or anesthetics. And so basically, when I was young and went to the dentist, it was a grip the chair time. And even though now the worst thing that happens is you just feel that little prick, you know, before they put the Novocaine in, I really like to go to the dentist. You know, and then we see the things that, you know, really aren't that painful. What do we do? Well, we save our money so we can afford the holiday. Or if we want to buy a house, we save up for the down payment. And that means that we put off buying things such as we want, or eat hamburger instead of steak. Again, a version of short-term pain for long-term gain. If we have a big test in school coming up, then we have to study. And that may mean skipping one of our favorite TV shows or not going out with friends. Again, a version of short-term pain for long-term gain. But what would this mean for our spiritual lives? Now, if Jesus is talking about short-term pain, he is not taking an hour out of our lives to go, for example, to church on a Sunday morning or to Bible study. And God forbid that anybody should think that these activities are in any way painful, although I have sat in some churches. The pews were not the most ergonomically well-constructed things in the world, and by the end of the service, while the service was okay, there was pain. That's from sitting. But when we talk about short-term pain for long-term gain, in the way Jesus might speak, tribulation. These are the times when Satan would wish to break our spiritual relationship with God and our spiritual relationship with our fellow believers. But in the midst of tribulation, Jesus promises to be with his people and promises to give them the crown of life and spare them from the second death. In relation to promises, times of tribulation are short-term pain, and the long-term gain, of course, is life eternal with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that brings me to my sermon topic for this morning, enduring tribulation. And I'll develop that in three parts. Number one, tribulation is being under pressure. Secondly, Jesus endured tribulation. By the way, he endured it for us. And thirdly, God's promises ease the pressure. Jesus appeared to John the Apostle while John had been exiled on the Isle of Patmos, which is off the shore of Ephesus. And this is probably about 60 years after Jesus had died, risen from the dead, and ascended into heaven. So that probably means about 90 of the first century. But Jesus is still with those whom he called. And so Jesus told John to write seven letters to seven churches which were all in Asia Minor, or what would today be Turkey. As a matter of fact, today we look at Jesus' words to the church at Smyrna, which is present-day Izmir. Now, Smyrna was a port city and north of Ephesus. It was one of the most prosperous cities in Asia Minor. It was one of the first cities to and worship the emperor as a living god here on earth. It had a large Jewish population. And in fact, both the Roman authorities and the Jewish religious authorities were hostile to both Jesus as well as to the church. Now, this reference is the only reference in the Bible that we have to a congregation in Smyrna. It's possible that the gospel came to Smyrna during Paul's second missionary journey from AD 53 to 57. Christians in Smyrna were being persecuted by both the Roman authorities and probably by their former co-religionists, the Jews. Now the Christians in Smyrna are described as being poor. There are two words in the New Testament that, at least in English, are both translated as poor. One means those who have enough to get by on a day-to-day basis. And of course, we always think of the petition in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. The other word describes those who are destitute. And the Christians in Smyrna are described as destitute. Materially, they had little, if anything. This has been a result of persecution. For example, in the letter to the Hebrews, we read of Christians who had their property seized because they confessed Jesus as Lord. And now the authorities are ready to throw some of these early believers in Smyrna into jail. The Christians were hard-pressed. As a matter of fact, in the scriptures, that's what the word tribulation means. The word tribulation means when pressure of some sort is applied against, usually against a person. It's like being thrown. The pressure is increased and increased and increased. Being pressed eventually will bring the pressure. In this case, the pressure. Outwardly, we might say, well, it's either the Romans or the Jewish authorities. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says the Jews in Smyrna are not really Jews, but belong to the synagogue of Satan, and it is the devil and not the Jews or the Romans who are applying the pressure and trying to break these early Christians. As a matter of fact, during his earthly life, Jesus told some of the Jews that they were of your father, the devil, who is the father of lies. And why did Jesus say this? Because as Jesus was speaking to them, they rejected his words, and they rejected that he came from the Father, and they rejected that he was God's long-promised Messiah. And who stands behind all that rejection? The father of lies himself, Satan. And so, what purpose is the devil, or what goal is the devil trying to achieve by bringing tribulation into the lives of God's people, God's saints? Jesus tells us that you may be tested. The devil wants to squeeze Christians to the breaking point. He wants pressure on Christians until they break and isolated from another, their fellow believers. Now, Jesus delivered every Christian out of the kingdom of darkness, of sin, death, and the power of the devil, into Jesus' kingdom of grace, life, forgiveness. And now the devil wants to break. They fall back into darkness and death. But the pressure that the devil is using is nothing new. He first used that pressure. But in his Son, God shows us that Jesus endured tribulation for us. in Smyrna, Jesus describes himself as the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life again. And we might say, well, those, in what way are they encouraging? In what way are they words of comfort for us? Well, before there was such a thing as tribulation, as a matter of fact, before there was anything at all, at least as we know it, there was Jesus. The opening of John's Gospel tells us the same thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before God said, let there be light, Jesus was there. And after history comes to an end with his coming again in glory, Jesus will continue to be there. And after sin, death, and the devil suffer their final defeat, Jesus will stand as the victor. Later in Revelation, Jesus says the same thing. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. From the first letter to the alphabet to the last letter. From before history begins to after it ends, Jesus will be there. And this is what God says of himself in the Old Testament by the words of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last, and there is no God besides me. Jesus is the King of Israel, of his Old Testament people, and he is the King of God's new Israel, the church of those who believe and consider him to the Redeemer. And to be the Redeemer, Jesus died and then returned to life. And he didn't die for himself. He died for you and I so that we and all who believe in him might be brought out of the darkness of sin, death, and the power of the devil, and to Jesus' marvelous life. For us, he became poor. That's what Paul says as he writes to the Corinthians. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Jesus voluntarily left the riches of heaven, riches that are nation, and took on our flesh. During his lifetime, he became poor and experienced the same kind of poverty that those Christians in Smyrna were experiencing. This is skid row poor. This is beggarly poor. This is truly dependent. And perhaps each and every hour for your daily bread. This is the pressure cooker of tribulation and affliction. But Jesus did not crack under the pressure, but endured it. He experienced the rejection of his own people. He came to his own, that is, the Jews, and those were his own did not receive him. At times during his ministry, his own flesh and blood, his brothers and sisters and mother considered him to be crazy. And at the end of his life, the disciples, those whom he had chosen and followed him for 3 years, all deserted him. They fled in fear. And one of them, Judas, trusted Satan more than he trusted his master and betrayed Jesus to the temple authorities. Again, Jesus was in the pressure cooker of affliction and tribulation, but he endured and did not crack. Jesus was falsely accused, whipped, and crucified. Before and during his crucifixion, he was cruelly mocked and teased. And on the cross, God the Father hid his face from God the Son, and Jesus died in the darkness of rejection. But even in the midst of this unnatural noonday darkness, Jesus could still say, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And in spite of everything, Jesus trusted in God the Father. This is the pressure cooker of tribulation and finally even of death itself. But Jesus endured and never cracked. Since has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted, such as you and I. And he was tempted in all things as we are, and yet without sin. He died as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He died once and for all. But he also rose from the dead, never to die again. Shines through the darkness of sin, shines through the darkness of death, and shows that he is the victor. He is not the victim. When the devil tempts, he tries to break us and break a believer's faith in Jesus. And when Jesus was so tempted, he said, "It is written." Jesus relied on the strength of God's word. This was the word which said that Jesus would not die for himself, but would die for others. This was the word that Jesus followed to the cross. This was the word that laid Jesus in the grave. And this is the word by which the Father raised him on the third day to life everlasting. And this is the word which shines through the darkness of tribulation and ultimately breaks the pressure cooker of tribulation. When tribulation comes, it is a burden. And Jesus doesn't try to sugarcoat this. It's painful. It's a burden. But it is a burden that Jesus himself took on, and it is a burden which he promises to help us carry for the believers in Smyrna. God's promises ease the pressure. In the midst of the tribulations of life, God's promises, which as Paul says, have all their yes in Jesus, ease the burden of tribulation. In the midst of material poverty, Jesus reminds the believer in Smyrna and us of the spiritual riches he has won for us. "I know your tribulation and your poverty, yet you are rich," says the Lord. All believers in Christ have riches beyond compare. And these riches begin with the forgiveness that Jesus has won for us. Forgiveness can't be bought or earned. It is available through only one person, Jesus, who died but once, but now is alive forevermore. And forgiveness restores the relationship that sin would otherwise have broken between people and God. Forgiveness tells us that sin, death, and the devil can deceive, but ultimately they have no power. Forgiveness opens the door to heaven and eternal life. Jesus promises that the imprisonment of the Christians in Smyrna will only last 10 days. Now, I know many numbers in Revelation to them, and so we can say whether the number is a number or but first of all, when Jesus says it's going to last 10 days, that means it's limited. And whether it's a symbolic number or a real number, in the scheme of things, 10 days isn't really a long period of time. If the absolute worst happens, Jesus promises the victor's crown of life and exemption from the second death. Jesus lives and shares eternal life and blessedness in heaven with his believers. At the final judgment, unbelievers will experience the second death. The first death is the death that all people will experience. The second death, however, is a bit worse, because the second death is eternal separation from God and torment forever in the lake of fire or hell. The devil wants people to believe, "Oh, there's only the first death. You know, that's just part of nature." That's a lie. Because the devil is part of the walking dead and wants to take as many as possible with him into the second death. Will we find tribulation? Jesus says yes. To his disciples, which includes us, he said, If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Paul said, and indeed all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Ultimately, though, all persecution does not come from God, but it comes from the devil. A teenager may want to live a Christian life, but because of circumstances may not fit in with the right crowd, may be bullied, may find opportunities limited. Then the devil comes and begins to sow seeds of doubt, using others to question a belief in Jesus, try to show that drugs may alleviate suffering, or even offer suicide as a way out. Jesus says no. Tribulations will not last. They will be but of a short duration. Take heed. I gave my life for you. I have forgiven you and will help you carry the burden. An adult may suffer an illness which does not go away. The devil will try to sow doubt. So-called Christians may say, well, it's God's will for you to get better, and if you don't, well, then you've got something wrong with your faith. Well, these are false teachers and part of the synagogue of Satan. Jesus says, tribulations will not last. I love you so much that I gave my life for you. I have forgiven you, and I'm going to help you carry the burden. Tribulation and persecution may be harsher. A number of years ago, three Christian girls going to Indonesia were set upon by a bunch of Muslims and beheaded. Every day in Iraq, Christians are persecuted and often killed for being a Christian. This is nothing new. After John died, the first bishop of Smyrna, Polycarp, was burned alive at the stake because he would not say, the emperor's Lord, and put a pinch of incense into the offering in front of the statue of the emperor. To these other persecution and tribulation, Jesus says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Remember that expression. Short-term pain for long-term gain. According to Jesus, all tribulation and its corresponding burden is but short-term. In the short term, if we find ourselves stumbling, if we find ourselves under pressure, let us turn to Jesus. Let us repent. Let us seek his forgiveness and be set on the long right road, the long-term road, the road that leads to life eternal. Jesus has defeated sin, death, and the power of the devil. And they may try to trick us. But remember, Jesus is the victor. Long-term gain is life. And Jesus has gone through all the short-term tribulation that the world can afflict. But in the end, he endured. And he emerged triumphant. He forgives us to share his triumph. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen. Now, the peace of God, which Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We now turn
to page 22 of our hymnal and join our hearts and voices in singing the offertory and after the offertory we shall receive the
offertory. Thank you.
God, Heavenly Father, from whom and through whom and to whom are all things, to thee be glory forever and ever. We thank thee for all thy blessings, for our creation and all that exists, for the priceless gifts and endowment of body and mind, and for thy daily provision for all the necessities of life, for the joys of home, family, and friends, and for good government and just laws, for the light of education and the growth of the healing arts, for thy protection in times of danger and thy deliverance from all evil. But most heartily do we thank thee for the gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom thou hast saved us from wrath and appointed us to obtain salvation and eternal life. Grant that we may be filled with his Spirit and produce the fruits of faith, hope, and compassion, so that when he shall come in his glory, we may be received into his eternal kingdom. And as thou wilt then bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and make manifest the counsels of all hearts, make manifest to us our exceeding sinfulness, and lead us to repentance. Cleanse and purify us by thy grace, that we may be absolved from all our sins and preserved from the power of evil. Sanctify all our thoughts, utterances, and endeavors, that we may perfectly love and serve thee. And so direct and counsel us that, according to thy good pleasure, we may daily work out our salvation in fear and trembling, and finally, in the day of judgment, be conformed to the image of thy dear Son. Open the eyes of thy church to see that Christ, the bridegroom from heaven, is nigh, and there remains a rest for the people of God to labor with diligence by proclaiming thy word with all boldness, that multitudes may be saved to the glory of thy holy name. Have dominion over all the nations of the earth, and in every land, by thy word, call, gather, and enlighten the people who may give love and obedience to thee through our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our land. Guide those who are in authority with thy wisdom, that they may rule with humility, serve with uprightness, lead with vision, and plan with intelligence, and grant that freedom, charity, and unity may dwell among us. Defend our homes from the corrupting influences of the world, the devil, and our own flesh. Keep our parents in the faith, each one loving and honoring the other, and our children in affection, obedience, each one growing in grace and favor with thee. We pray for all sorts and conditions of the men, but especially for the afflicted. Lift up the weary and the wounded, touch the sick and the diseased, strengthen the aged and infirm, give hope to the depressed and anxious, guard the imperiled and oppressed, and by thy mighty power give them in Christ Jesus light for their darkness and joy for their sadness. To this end, we especially pray for Nancy, Laura, Jean, Marlene, Sue, Don, Richard, Ruth, Doug, Stephen, Mary, Dina, Peter, and especially those whose names are in our hearts which we lift up before thee. We thank thee for those in our midst and for those in our nation who have gone before and fought for our country to preserve our freedoms and especially our freedom of religion. We ask that he would be with all those in the armed forces to continue to watch over them and give them that victory which we need to preserve our country and its freedoms. We would ask that he would be with those in our Senate who have been called and those who are calling, that you may give an extra measure of your Holy Spirit to all so that they may see where their talents best lie in the furtherance of thy kingdom, and those who are calling may not lose heart during their vacancy. Watch over Timothy as he travels to Pakistan. Set your holy angel over him, that no harm may come to him, and watch over his home while he is absent from them. Be with all those who are driving the services this day, letting your holy angels again watch over them and grant them a safe journey. And now, O God, who will once more shake the heavens and the earth, but who has given us a kingdom which cannot be moved, grant unto us steadfastness and patience, that when thy Son shall appear, and all his holy angels with him, he may be clothed with his righteousness and inherit the heavenly city, which abides forever. For in his exalted name we pray, for he has also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus came to heaven's good Lord.